Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be wholly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Is life fair? The sermon for this Sunday, called Septuagesima, or the third Sunday before Lent, is titled by me, Is Life Fair? It was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Both of today's lessons can help us answer the question, is life fair? Is life fair? Fairness is a concept most people have drummed into them when they are children. We all have some sense of what fair play is and what a fair distribution of the cookies looks like. If we have brothers and sisters, we run up against the question of fairness as we watch our parents deal with them. You let him do things you never let me do. It's just not fair. Much of the public business of our society is devoted to resolving issues of fairness. The criminal justice system is supposed to treat everyone the same way. That's only fair. We don't want people deprived of opportunities for reasons over which they have no control. That wouldn't be fair. Today's gospel is one of Jesus' parables which tells us what the kingdom of God is like. The concept, kingdom of God, has several different meanings in the New Testament. Heaven, of course, is the kingdom of God in the final and ultimate sense. But the kingdom of God also refers to what things are like here on earth when God is in charge. If you allow God to be your king, that is, if you try to let his teachings guide what you think and say and do, then you are in the kingdom of God already. When God's will is done, his kingdom is present. That is what we mean when we say the Lord's Prayer. We ask for his kingdom to come, and we admit that the best way we can help make that happen is to do his will, as everyone in heaven does. Judging from this morning's parable, things in the kingdom of God are not exactly fair. If someone works 12 hours performing the same task as at which another person works 1 hour, it seems only fair that he should receive 12 times as much pay. But everyone in this story gets exactly the same amount of money at the end of the day, no matter how many hours he worked. It just doesn't sound fair. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul is talking about himself, one of his two or three favorite topics. His big concern is the danger that even after he has worked as hard as he has for God and put up with all that he has suffered, at the end he might not make it into heaven. That really wouldn't seem terribly fair either. The short answer to the question, is life fair, is quite obviously no. It doesn't take a membership in Mensa or a degree in theology to see that some people are better looking, some people die before their time, some people get horrible diseases, some people have trouble with their children. Some people just seem to glide along through difficulty. Some people can eat and drink a lot and never get fat. Some people just seem to get all the breaks. There's nothing fair about any of that. We may decide God is not fair because he makes everybody's life different, and that he could have been a bit fairer to me, but the fact that on the only issue of lasting importance, God is better than fair. He doesn't stop at even-handedness or giving just desserts. He is positively generous. The parable of the workers in the vineyard is not about labor economics. It is about salvation. At the most obvious level, the parable means everybody's reward from God is the same, no matter when he lets God into his life. You can't have more or less heaven or more or less forgiveness, or more or less reconciliation to God. In the parable, the people who worked the longest should have been glad rather than resentful. They resent the people who have a relationship to God throughout their whole lives. They represent the people who have a relationship to God throughout their whole lives. If we really think friendship with God is a good thing, we shall want to have it as long as we can. We won't think we are being victimized just because it is possible to get into heaven through a deathbed conversion. St. Paul says that life is like a foot race. In a normal foot race, all of the contestants work hard and go into training, but only one of them can win. In the Christian race, everybody who makes it to the finish line is a winner. Is that fair? He is trying to tell us that we need to train for the Christian race, even though victory is not only to the swift. The kind of training he means involves all the things the prayer book talks about: weekly church attendance, and praying and studying the Bible, and giving money away and trying to help other people. But at the same time, St. Paul knows that no matter how much he trains himself, and no matter how much he may do for God, if he doesn't hang on all the way until the end, he will be lost and he won't go to heaven. All his accomplishments will count for nothing if he has turned away from Christ at the end. It is all about getting there, not about how you do it. So what can we conclude? Try to get yourself straight with God as soon as you can, so the blessings will start to flow. Don't be resentful towards other people who seem to have things easier than you do. Take Christian discipline seriously for the long haul, so you will still be committed when you die. Jesus reminds us, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown for life, and he that endureth until the end will be saved." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.